Almost there. We'll get the last couple of books stamped.
I'm glad you're doing this.
Thanks.
I remember the battle on this one.
Yeah. It didn't seem like it was 24 years ago.
I know, it's unbelievable. Okay, guys, ready?
What's his name?
Okay, guys, here we go. How'd you sneak up here? Uh-huh. I saw the end of that line, and now there's more line. All right, y'all. Katie Parker, alcoholic. Hey, first of all, I don't want to forget, we have a special celebrant's birthday today. Greg is 30 today. Stand up. Stand up. Come on. 30. I swear. There you go. I always love to talk about, you know, the new guy, everybody just applauds and goes crazy over, then you get 30 years, you're like, how'd that happen?
How long is the lunch break?
I don't know, you'll have to ask them. No, this is not the time.
Jerry, I got one quick question. How long is the lunch break?
1 hour.
1 hour, because there was somebody who was trying to make lunch plans, and so in about just over an hour, we'll be off for an hour.
Okay, here we go with the four step. Okay, the bottom of page 63.
And I found my glasses in case anybody was worried about it.
Bottom of page, I know, oh, yippee. Bottom of page 63 is where the four step begins. Now, remember, the reason we get so deep in the directions is you're going to be taking inventory for the rest of your sobriety, period. And for some reason, when we talk about the 10th step, people think that you're going back to writing 15 to 60 people on your inventory. No. We all have the experience of having done the big inventory. Sure, we're going to be talking about that right now. But when we look at the 10th step, it says continue to take personal inventory. And when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So if you take that step off the wall, you only use that step as damage control. The 10th step. The 10th step is designed for you to start observing yourself throughout the day. And so I don't ever want to lose sight of, because when it comes to the end of this event, we're all fried. Charlie and I may have taken too long on a step. We don't hit the 10 and 11 as deeply as I'd like to. So that's why I'm always redirecting, because you just never can tell, you know, where this ship's going to sail. Okay, so it says, now I love these directions, are so profound. It says, before I forget, the four step is a consideration of how I show up. We have a lot of people will say, you know, the sixth step is only two paragraphs, or, you know, is only one paragraph in the big book, you know, la 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 la. We are starting from the third step till we get to the sixth step, investigating my fingerprint, investigating my DNA. See, my inventory is about my DNA, how I show up. How you show up may be very different than how I show up. There is a reason we get deep into this, and I think sometimes we'll go to the 12 and 12, and we'll pick up some stuff, and I'm not saying it's good, bad, right, wrong, but we're missing the depth of me understanding every fiber of my being and how I operate so that I know what to take to God in the sixth step. See, it's got to become objectionable. And I love to use the term, you know, I love the F word. Now, I'm not going to say it from here because it's not correct, but I do love it. And there are people it offends terribly. But you see, until it's objectionable to me, I don't really care what you think. You know what I mean? And I mean, you know, now I'll notice if you continue to roll your eyes or whatever, it's just going to make me angry and make me have to write inventory and consider it, but probably not going to get rid of it. So the fourth step is a consideration of how I show up. Now, there are several things that you do on inventory, and what you'll be amazed at is the same things will continue to boil it all the way down to some of the same things. And one of them is I already know I'm assertive. I'm the kind of woman who, I mean, I've always said, you get three women in untreated alcoholism, and we could have found Bin Laden that fast. Just drop us over there, sniff that little rat out in a minute. You know what I mean? But to me, that's what, I mean, I'm assertive. And if you scare me, I take a step forward, period. Doesn't matter who you are. You can be the biggest guy ever, and I'll take a step forward. And that is of my nature. This is not new information. This isn't learned behavior. I came out of the womb as like little Mighty Mouse, you know. What's next? Where am I to go? One time, and I love this story, and Charlie doesn't, because it's got a very interesting flair to it. We're at the airport, and once again, the airport. We're at the airport in San Juan, or San Jose, and we're picking up Charlie's mother. And she can walk, but she's in a wheelchair because it's a long way. We're going to pick her up. And all of a sudden, there's this large group of people, and they look like they're from Nigeria or something. I'm not quite sure, but they're all moving forward in purple shirts. And there's one guy in the crowd just busting through. You can see it. And we see Charlie's mother coming down, and we begin to realize they're going to intersect at about the same time. And this is dangerous. She's not that stable. And so Charlie and I are kind of moving quicker and quicker and quicker. And right when we get to the place where this guy bumps into Charlie's mom, Charlie grabs him by the arm and goes, "Dude, man, you almost knocked my mother over." And the guy goes, just like a bull, "Let go of my arm." You know, and you're like, and I mean, it's that moment where everything stops. And Charlie's a big guy, and this guy was a big guy. And he goes, "Let go of my arm." And he goes, "Dude, you just ran into my mom." And the guy just shoves Charlie. And when Charlie takes a few steps back, now I'm the kind of girl, I'm not stepping in the middle of that. I know better. These are two rams getting ready to buck their heads. You know what I mean? And so I'm just watching. And the next thing you know, when he shoves Charlie back, I jump in like a spider monkey, man. And I mean, I look at that guy and I go, "Hey, listen, buddy." You know, and here he goes. And so the guy is so thrown off. And here's the best part of the story. He just barrels off. You know, the police come, and we can't find the guy and all of this stuff. But here's the part of the story that when we leave, Charlie's mother's like, "Oh, wow, Katie." I mean, she said, I think she said you were like a panther. But
she said spider monkey.
Yeah, somebody said spider monkey. It wasn't me. I thought I was more like a panther coming in. But I'm sitting in the back seat, and I'm just reliving it, thinking, I am so unbelievable. That was amazing. And Charlie has talked about three people on the phone, and he's not telling anybody about the event. And I'm thinking, and so I say to him, "Why aren't you telling anybody what happened?" And he goes, "What, that you emasculated me in public?" I know, see? That never occurred to me. Now, here's the other part. When he said that, I immediately realized what he was talking about. And I called my sponsor to 10-step it with her. And I said, "Oh, Marty." And she goes, "Katie, what would have happened if that guy would have punched you in the face? Charlie would have killed him. So he'd be in jail for manslaughter."
Nah.
That's my boy. We'd be leaving the country. Yeah, short order. Next flight out. Because we know how to avoid that one. But you see, when that happened, I don't think that through. I just do what I do. And the more and more I've got a lifetime of doing inventory, a lifetime of self-examination, a lifetime of looking at this stuff, I have become, now some of it's because I'm getting older and I do have, you know, mortality is clearly there. But I have to tell you that the more I look at it, I used to be the one running into the burning house. You know, if the firemen weren't there yet and somebody said I won't run in for a dog. Maybe y'all will. I'm not going in for a dog. But if they tell me there's a kid in there, I'm going in. And I don't consider my children losing me. I don't consider what effect I would have on all these people. I'm just the person who will do that. And so I have begun to step back and really ask God to change me in that area. Please don't let me be the first responder. All my life, that's what I've been. There's a car accident, man, I'm over there doing CPR. You know, I run right out of my shoes. I just run the whole show. You know, like I said, I'm the sheriff. I mean, clearly the sheriff of AA. You know, I mean, telling you, I'm the cleavage police, you know. And there are several violations, I just want you to know. And so, you know, I mean, I take this role on, you know, the kids standing up in the grocery store basket. You know, I am terrible. That one I'm still not over. And I'll see the kids standing up in the basket, and I look at them. I go, hey, sit down. And when the parent looks at me, I just go, takes a village. Just takes a village. And, you know, to me, I'm making it lighthearted, but I just can't stand it. On my watch, that kid cracks his head open on my watch.
I got to jump in here.
Okay. Here it goes.
When she's sheriff of the world, it's a universal application. And we're driving down the road, leaving the house the other day, and there's two little girls, and they're out by the curb, and one of them has a dog. Now, Katie knows she needs to be on the job here, because obviously this girl is not well-equipped to handle this dog.
It's a puppy.
And she picks the dog up, and right as we're driving by, the dog goes, whoop, bam, onto the ground, and Katie goes, she dropped the puppy.
I knew the minute she was picking it up.
But I just knew that in her mind that meant that happened on my watch. You know, uh-huh. She dropped the puppy. I knew it. Saw it coming. I couldn't get there in time. You know, but oh my God.
Oh.
We laughed for an hour about she
dropped the puppy. My favorite one though was when we were in Destin doing a big book or doing a talk and 1 hour talk, and I mean it was during the summer and the pool is packed with kids, and all of a sudden I look up and it's one of these high rise, you know, hotels we're in, and it was either the second or third floor up. There were two kids on the balcony standing on chairs leaning over, and the brother was scaring his sister. I know, same attitude I had. Where were you people when there's all these people watching it and nobody taking any responsibility? I'm in the pool and I am like a shark when I see it. I go like this, I go, hey, hey. And I mean, I get their attention. I'm all the way on the other side of the pool. Place is packed. These two kids go, huh, right? And I go, get down from there. Get down from there. And they're not moving. And I mean, I'm like a shark. Dun, 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 dun. And Charlie said, somebody goes, what is she going to do? And he goes, oh, watch out. Here she goes. She's on it. And I get out. I get all the way out. I come walking up the steps, and I said, get down from there right now. And I mean, they shot in the house, and I was prepared for the parents to come out and thank me. You know what I mean? That's, you know, and if they didn't thank me, I was up for the argument. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, but your children on my watch can't fall off your, that, you know, three stories.
She dropped the sister
right there. And so this woman comes over to me and she goes, do you work here? And I said, no, ma'am, I just used to drive a school bus, so I'm kind of, it's what I do. It's just what I do. And she goes, my husband and I were over there just on pins and needles. And Charlie said, the woman in the pool said, what's she saying to this woman? He goes, well, she's deputizing her because she's going to have to walk away from the scene here in a minute. And I told the woman, I said, now, you know, it's your job now, because I'm not going to be out here all day. You know, you're on vacation, I'm not. So, you know. But it was one of those deals where I just can't do that. I by nature, if children are stepping out of line, I grew up with that old idea that you step in, period. You don't let them sit there and be saying the F word in public when they're coming. You know, I just go, hey, 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 watch your language. You know, because now don't get me wrong, I like the F word. But I also know when and where to use it because I'm mature. Okay. So, oh, I got a whole nother one too. I got to tell you one more because it's fun to tell these stories. You begin to understand it. I don't like line cutters, right? I don't like kids that cut the line. I don't like kids that don't look at you. I don't like kids that don't respect you. You know, when I'm walking through the door, I'm the adult. I walk through the door. You're on your phone. I'll stop you. I'll put my hand on your phone. Hey, hey, hey. Right here, buddy, right here. You know what I mean? Stopping in the airport on their phones, you know, just dead center, walking along, you know. Oh, makes me crazy. And so there's a kid cutting the line at the water park, and my son has had enough of his mother going, hey, 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 you know, and he's a grown man now. And this brother is in the line. It's one of these lines, like right at Disneyland. You know, you go back and forth, and it's a water park. And there's three brothers and a sister. And the one brother has the sister in a headlock. And, I mean, he's got her in a headlock and, like, smashing her head against the wall there. I'm like, I can't even believe nobody around is saying anything. These are children. Step in. I don't care if you're going to tell me you're pissed off that I stepped in on your kids. Fine. It's going to be an uncomfortable moment here, but I'll take it. So I look at the kid and the brother and I go, hey, 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 hey. That gets everybody's attention. Only a mother's got that one too. And Sam goes, mom, mom, mom. And I'm like, I'm doing it. And the kid turns around and I go, knock it off, buddy. Knock it off. And there's two men behind, about four behind. I look at the men like, what the hell? You know, now my son is so embarrassed, so ashamed, you know, ah, la, 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 I suck that out of him. Long story short, my daughter-in-law leans over and goes, I love that about you.
Tell them about the...
Oh, no, the movie theater.
The Central Market parking lot.
Oh, that's another bad one.
No, it's not. It's the one where you were talking about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I don't know about the movie theater one. That one.
No,
that
no,
we're
no,
not going to do that one.
Come over here and meet them.
Okay, yeah. Okay, my son, who has never seen me drink, he's going to be 29 this year, never seen me drink. We always love to say our children have never seen us drink. And don't get me wrong, I understand the depth of that statement. But don't think they've never seen you crazy. See, we act like the drink was the problem. And so you've seen me road rage. I'm the kind of girl screaming at the, grocery store. I get it. I've yelled at the principal at the school, you know, for when they suspended my son, sending him home instead of making him go wash the bus. That was what I suggested. They said they can't do that. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm that kind of parent. And my son works at this really cool grocery store in Austin. It's called Central Market. And he's really doing well there. He's been there for about 8 years. And I ran into an AA buddy and his son. And I'm standing out in the parking lot. I can't believe I've seen him. And my son comes walking out. I go, hey, Sam. And he's like, you know. And I go, come here. And I thought, well, I do not know why he's doing that. So I ended up going over there. And I said, what's up? And he goes, oh, I said, I wanted you to meet a buddy of mine and his son. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were yelling at somebody. Need I say more? So I'm confrontational. I'm better than I've ever been, but I will bring in the tough question. You know what I mean? I mean, if somebody's ignoring me, I'll probably ask you, is everything okay between us? I'm feeling like there's something wrong. I mean, I don't go, hey, what's the problem? Don't understand. Confrontational is not mean it's unloving. It's just a direct question. When I get scared, I take that step forward. Now, here's the other thing. In AA, this is my blueprint, right? This four step is the blueprint of Katie. Not you, of Katie. If you show up, if you're the type of personality who would not say peep if you had a mouthful of it, you wouldn't, you know, the whole I say nothing, I'm quiet, you're like stealth, right? You come into the room like one of those drones, you know, you come to. Right? Nobody even knows who you are. You've got a personality that nobody even remembers you, doesn't even know what you were wearing. That doesn't make you any less alcoholic than me. What it does is it shows up the way you show up in the world. You know, you're the one who also says, I don't have many friends. I can see why. You know what I mean? So for you to speak up is as difficult for me to shut up. So don't lose sight. They're both very, very difficult defects. So it says also in the four step that this is a life or death errand. Life or death. And we will wait for people to do it. You know, that's the tricky part of this. It's, I think it's actually in the fifth step where it says it's a life or death errand. I'm drawing a blank on the number. And so one of the things that I think we lose sight of is we let somebody take 90 days before we start the action steps. That is not at all what the book tells us to do. Now, if that worked for you, great. But that may not work for another drunk. I can't guarantee you it will work for another drunk. So I got to come in here and do what the directions say because you're in triage with me. I'm just trying to stop the bleeding. And I'll be honest with you, this is what I do. Charlie doesn't always agree with it. You know, once again, I say he's got an opinion on experience he hadn't had, he hadn't done it. But if you're working with the new guy, I say to you, give me 10 resentments, give me 10 fears, and give me 10 harms in your sex life. And then let's sit down and do that. I give you a week, maybe two. I have a cutoff date when you come to me. So I'm doing the third step with you. I'll line you out on the fear, the resentment, and the sex, the conduct inventory with an emphasis on sex, especially in the beginning. And then you do 10. And we do this through this vigorous course of action we're getting ready to talk about. And then I give you basically 2 months to make all those amends, right, that need to be done with those 10 to the best of our ability. And then you do 10 more. Because this vigorous course, it says next, we launch right at the bottom of 63, clear-cut directions. Next, we launch out on this vigorous course of action. The first step, which is a personal house cleaning. So this vigorous course of action is 4 through 9. It's like a golf swing, right? You want to get all the way through there. What happens is if you come to me with 70 people on your resentment inventory, we're going to have to break that into 3 meetings. There's no way we're going to get to that. And trust me, going to make the amends, oh, you've long lost interest in those. So that's why I think that's important. Then you flip the page to 64, and I love what it says. It says, though our decision, what decision? The third step decision was a vital and crucial step. Vital means key to life. That's pretty darned important. It could have little or permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in ourselves that were blocking us. To be rid is to be set free. And that's from that sunlight of the spirit. Our liquor was but a symptom. So we had to get down to causes, column 2, and conditions, column 3. That's that cause and effect, cause and effect. That's how I show up. When we're looking at selfishness, how you show up selfish, the way it shows up in a resentment inventory, you didn't do what I wanted you to do. That pisses me off. You with me on that? Have you ever gotten in front of somebody that can't merge into traffic until there's nobody? That's going to take forever. And every party wants to blow your horn, and that's the worst thing you can do. That's not going to get that nervous nilly to go any faster. Matter of fact, you've just amped the pressure up. And so they're not doing what I want them to do. That pisses me off. Fear is afraid you're not going to do what I want you to do. Right? I'm afraid they're not going to say the right thing, do the right thing, act the right way. And then harms to others, right? This sex inventory is I feel guilty for having harmed you. You see, I'll walk around with a level of guilt until you let me off the hook. Remember, I was telling you the story about my son-in-law until he said to me, you know, put his hand on my knee and said, Katie, it's okay. I understand that claw was more important than this. Don't you let that bother you. See, that's ridiculous. Bottom line is I'm sorry, and I'm leaving it at that. I'm not begging for you to accept my apology. That's all driven by the guilt, especially raising kids. We'll get way off into that one. And then it says, no regular inventory, you usually go broke. So I want to offer something for your consideration. If you've not written a 4-column inventory on resentment, a possible 2-3-column fear inventory, however you read that, or a conduct inventory, right? How you show up in life with your sex powers, how you're a good neighbor, how you're a AA member, you know, all this is a conduct inventory. If you haven't done that in the last 3 months, how did you get away with not writing inventory? It says no regular inventory usually goes broke. If it's all verbal and you're not given the magic to pen to paper, God works amazingly through that. And I'm not knocking this app. Oh my God, 90 of you'll run up and show me the app. The only problem with the texting or typing, my sponsor's a big court reporter in criminal court, been doing it for 25 years. She said, Katie, it is proven that you can type or text as fast as you think, and that's not good. We want to slow that down. And there's something about writing that is methodically spiritual in nature. So if you come to me with a typed inventory, well, you won't, because I'll tell you not to do that. But you know what I mean? I just tell you, don't type it. I really do want pen to paper. You know, they're not going to bring it to me. And I go, oh, I'm not going to listen to that. That would not be effective at all. I'll see that. And I'll say, hey, next time, let's be sure you write it. There's some real magic that happens in that. Now, that app for the evening review, if it gets you to at least begin the process, more power to you. But I'm a little leery of that. I'm also a little leery of people sending their evening review to their sponsor. That's really between you and God. There's nowhere in there that says share that with someone else. Only if I've left something out, which would be you calling me the next day and saying, hey, this came up on my evening review and I really did need to talk to another person about it. I'm not interested in looking at your evening review. That's between you and God. It says also that it's a fact-finding and a fact-facing mission. The fact-finding is my job. The fact-facing is your job. That's why when I listen to inventory, this is how I like to listen to it. Now, once again, this is how I do it. Please don't hear that I'm saying it's the only way. This is how I do it. Charlie does inventory a little different than me. So the way I listen to it is I say, who's in column one? They give me the name. Say, Dad. Well, the three things that Dad did, right? He never showed up to my baseball games. He was never there for me. He loved my sister more than me. Bullet points. That's all we're ever looking for. I'm not looking for this much information. We're going to talk for a long time on Dad. I want you to narrow it down to boom, what you got. And I don't want you to spend much time thinking. We want what's on the top of your head. What's the stuff that's eating your lunch? And then the third column, when we get into that third column, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. I want you to tell me the three things in column two, and then I'm going on my fact-finding mission. So what year were you born? Where did you fall in your family? Yada, 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 yada. I mean, I'm going to get it. What did Dad do for a living? Did he stay married to Mom? How was their relationship? I'm getting the picture. It's coming to me. Right? I see what's going on. I mean, how many of you guys as a kid felt like Mom and Dad just weren't present? But then you're going to say in your children's life, you were oh so present. You know what I mean? I mean, kids, come on. You just want to go, just go. Go in the other room. I need 10 minutes of silence. Zip it. You with me on that? You'll go, hey, yeah, it's been a stressful day. Come sit on my lap. So tell me nothing. Tell me about your day. Tell me. You know what I mean? I mean, I love my children, but come on. It's incredibly difficult to raise children. And yet when I'm the parent, I give myself all this slack. But when my parents did it to me, I hold them responsible. Can't believe they did that. So that's all I'm saying. When we look at Mr. Brown here, I love this. It says on page 65, it says, Mr. Brown, his attention to my wife, told my wife I had a mistress, and Brown wants my job. Oh, my God. He got 19 words, and he threatened every fiber of my being. You know, look at what he did, and he got 19 words. Best AA t-shirt is, you know, Mr. Brown needs his ass kicked. I agree. He really does. But, I mean, he's threatened my sex and my money. Come on. You know, I add children to that, but if you don't have kids, sex and money will make me lose my mind. Marty likes to say, you know, working in criminal court, she says, Katie, they're crimes of passion. People who would never kill another person will kill you over sleeping with somebody. I mean, there's a reason that these are so personal. Or mess with my money, I lose my mind. And then it says, it's an effort to discover the truth about the stock in trade. Now, I love that it's an effort. I don't like the term, and once again, this is a lot of my opinion. I don't like the my truth. That term scares me because what they're talking about is they're talking about how I show up. Not my truth about that I need to be this valiant individual. My truth, when somebody comes to me and says, Katie, I need to talk to you about my truth. I tell them, oh, no, it's a two-way conversation. I'm not interested in your truth. Go tell your sponsor about your truth. You know what I mean? Because it's usually going to be that it's their truth is that I bug them. I'm not interested in that. You've taken a word and you've used it in the wrong sense. This is an effort to discover the truth about the stock in trade, about me and how I show up in the world. I had a sponsee one time and, oh my God, somebody sent her an email. She's a big, powerful woman. And somebody sent her an email and it was ugly. It was really an ugly. And then they signed it anonymous. So it was actually chicken. You know what I mean? You just go, really? You big. You know, if you're going to take issue, own it. That's just so passive aggressive. You know, this anonymous. Oh, great. You big. Peanut. So, you know, so, and she reads it to me and she goes, and her husband's in the program. She goes, I read it to my husband, you know, and he was just furious. Well, of course he was. What other role is he going to take? Well, let's 10 step that and see, you know, la, 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 la. So I said to her, well, that's terribly unfortunate that individual was so ugly. However, is there any truth in what they're saying? And I mean, there was a long pause. And she goes, yes, there is. I go, well, then let's step away from the way they presented it, and let's look at an effort to find the truth. I feel for you. That's gonna rub you all day. But if there's truth in that, we got to look at that. I already knew there was truth in it. You know, so I that, but that's so the, and when we finished, she said, "Thank you so much, because I do see exactly what that's about." And I said, "I, you know, just because we don't like the way somebody presented it to us, oh, don't dismiss it, because if the person came to you and said, hey, listen, I've noticed that you were doing some things that the community doesn't support, and I know that that's just not really who you are, sign Bill Smith." You know, wouldn't that just be wonderful? But that's not how it works. Most of the time, the world and its people do not act the way I'd like them to. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Then it says it's an effort to swallow and digest, right? You got to swallow and digest the truth. I always love Marty, my sponsor. I just love her to death. Marty Ruby is in Austin, and a lot of people think I'm saying Mari. I'm saying Marty. It's two different people, and Marty's got this whole head bobbing thing when she talks. You know, she just, oh, wears me out. And I told her, I said, Marty, I'm over here trying to swallow and digest, and that head bobbing thing is making me crazy. And she goes, oh, sorry. I'm like, I mean, it's like swallowing glass when you hear it. And it's looking at it from an entirely different angle, the angle of the person in column one. You see, if I'm always going to that they did me wrong, why? What did they do that was so wrong? Or did you possibly invite some of that behavior? It's one object. Once, remember, it was an effort to discover the truth. Oh, and one object is to disclose damage or unsaleable goods, to get rid of them promptly and without regret. Now, the book is trying to warn me that when you come into a resentment inventory, because we're talking about resentment, you're coming in with a self-righteous attitude, wouldn't you say? You bet. And I say, bring it, man. Bring it in the second column. Don't try to find the solution in the second column. I want you to say, that loser, I can't believe that self-centered ass. You know, bring it. I want you to tell me what's going on in column two. We're not trying to look good. This is about bringing it. I'm the one who's going to get you to three and four. You know, we're going to get that second column's all smoke and mirrors. And so one object is to get rid of it promptly and without regret. So we're going to, as Chuck Chamberlain said, uncover, discover, and discard. Not uncover, discover, and lather ourselves up in it. Self-pity, right? And then I love in the fifth step, it says, we will be delighted. So if you're getting some real observations handed to you, we thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know us and him better. See, these are things that are good, guys. We're living in a world today where everybody's a winner. No, you're not. No. You know, you're mean. You're thoughtless. You're a little bit of a lazy butt. You're not a winner. You know, and we want to shield people from the truth. We throw these gates wide open of politically correct that nobody gets their feelings hurt. Getting your feelings hurt is actually spiritual growth. You know, I mean, we have really lost perspective here. And I speak mainly to, now I'm not speaking for you boys, but to women, be very careful at how much we nurture women. You know, we got this whole, women are, well, we already know that. You know, I'm not saying some of this stuff out there, but be very careful. We will destroy our own selves behind, hear me roar. And I think that the beauty is God is the one in charge. It should be done in prayer. Pray for our leaders. It's all prayer. It's not out there screaming, listen to me. Sometimes the one who screams the loudest is not heard. And so it says, and so one of the things it says, this self-righteous, you come into the inventory with self-righteous and you leave with self-pity. You still thought about yourself. The ego doesn't care if it's self-righteous or self-pity, as long as you're thinking about you. That's all we want. Keep the focus on you. See, you come in self-righteous and you leave in this position of neutrality. Yeah, it's a little swallowing and digesting. I see it. Thank you, God. Thanking God, thanking God, thanking God. If the owner of a business is to be successful, so these are just for the ones who want to be successful, he can't fool himself about values. What are these values, right? Family, work, AA. See, we all came in with a moral fiber. No matter how bad of a family you were raised in, could have been really ugly. Mine wasn't. Mine was just, you know, my dad was an ex-NFL football player. It was fun and games and a lot of booze and a lot of, you know, ass-grabbing kind of stuff, right? I mean, I loved the family I grew up in. And it was a lot of fun. There was nobody you know, punching people or anything horrific like that. Some people really were in that, but you still saw some level of value. By nature, we're born with this value in us. We know the difference between right and wrong. We couldn't live up to it, but we knew it. So this is where the third column comes into play deeply. When it says that we have to get rid of our old ideas, the result was nil until we let go absolutely. What are the old ideas? They're in your third column. So if you're still doing the old inventory where you check those off, oh, let me encourage you to just have an open mind with what I'm getting ready to tell you. The question I like to ask is, how was your self-esteem, your pride, your ambition, your security, your personal relationships, your sex, your money affected? How? I want to know exactly how I show up when Charlie has ignored me while he's talking to a beautiful woman. That's the problem. You with me on that? And it really animated. And he doesn't go, hey, Katie, come, I want you to meet Mary. You know, that's all good if he does as I wish, right? Or there's so many people. Why didn't they invite me to the party? Why this? Why that? This is what we're talking about. My self-esteem is always an I am statement. You don't have to write this down. It'll be on the CDs, which I really hope you guys get a set of these CDs. You learn a lot in here, but there's so much coming at you. And let me offer this. I think they're only $30. Let me encourage you to buy a set of CDs for yourself. Don't buy one and have to give them to everybody. Just get them for you. They're your own possession. And study the crap out of them. You don't have to hand them to somebody. You give 4 or 5 days of handing those CDs away right after this event, it's lost its appeal. I just fall back into my life. So your self-esteem is an I am statement. Your pride is no one should, could, or would. Your ambitions are what I want to have happen. Your security is what I need to have happen. My personal relationships are my deep-seated beliefs about this relationship. If I'm writing about my dad, fathers are. If I'm writing about my mom, moms are. Husbands are. Children are. Whoever. And you write it quickly, right? Your sex relationships, there's a couple of different ways of doing that one. I only talk about it if your sex was affected. My buddy Dan Sherman, we lost him just last year. It's just heartbreaking. A great guy. Did Big Book Awaken. He was the one who really took this third column deeper, and it was so profound. And that's what I want you to see, and I can't really get into too much more of this because my time's up, but I do want you to consider, and this is probably going over some of y'all's head, that's okay, it'll come to you, is that your security, which is typically I want us all to get along. See, my ambition is I want you to behave the way I want you to, but my security is I want to get along with my brother. And if that's the case, my self-esteem, my pride, and my ambition will always stand in the way of my security being met. That third column is always going to separate me from my fellow man. Always. Because it needs to be met. Okay, honey, your turn.
Thanks, Katie. Mm-hmm.